Today's the 14th. We have been working our way verse by verse through this epistle. 25 verses in the original Greek in which Jude wrote, 461 words. That makes it the fourth shortest book of the New Testament. After 3 John, 2 John, Philemon, you get Jude. And although Jude is a little book, it's packed with a powerful punch, because it's addressed by Jude to churches that were struggling with false teachers that had secretly slipped in. And those false teachers were wreaking havoc on the church. And so Jude has to write. And for 13 weeks, we've sought to understand the context of what's going on. And the reason for that is that God's timeless truths, particularly with the epistles, get wrapped in time and space, which means God doesn't just send these words from glory in a vacuum, but he sends them into a specific time and a specific place for a specific reason. And so the more we understand what that reason is, the more we understand the context of what's going on, the history behind it, the context of the scriptures around each verse, the words he chose, that provides us then with a solid interpretation of, okay, so this is what the word meant then. But to be faithful to the text, we often also have to ask the question, how does it apply today? It's not enough just to do the historical then, because then it just stays back there. We need to know how it applies today. But it's also important that we do the then so we can do the now, because without the now can be our agenda. It could be what we read into the text. It could be our own thoughts and ideas. And those aren't inspired. The text is inspired because God, by his Holy Spirit, spoke through these writers, spoke through Jude, a particular message that, because the word of God is God-breathed, it's useful not just in the first century, but also in the 21st century for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness. So we've sought to do both then and now. So today, in this last message, what I'd like to do is take all those individual things and kind of put them together, but then step back and get a big picture. And I do this in a way that I don't do these things often, but we're going to do it in a dramatized first-person expository message, which means I'm going to cease to be Pastor Ray for about 20 minutes. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. To those of you who have been called, loved by God the Father, and kept by Jesus Christ. My name is Jude. I am the brother of James, the leader of the Jerusalem church. I am also a follower, a servant of Jesus, the Messiah. I must confess, however, that I have not always been a follower. When I was younger, my brothers and I and my sisters, we thought Jesus was mad. In fact, we and our mother Mary sought to get him away from the crowds when he was doing ministry, because we thought he was out of his mind and needed rest. It wasn't until after his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead that we came to realize that Jesus really is the Anointed One, the one promised in our scriptures who was to come, the one who would come anointed by the Holy Spirit to preach good news, to proclaim liberty for the captives, the recovery of sight for the blind, the release of prisoners, the acceptable year of the Lord, the Messiah who would come with God's salvation. But from that day to this, I have been a follower of Jesus. One might say I have been his slave and he has been my master. My life has been his, devoted to him. And for the last 35 years, I have shared the good news of Jesus and his salvation with all those who did not know him. And I have sought to disciple and encourage and care for God's people. It is for that reason that I wrote an epistle that bears my name. I had hoped to write to encourage the saints about the salvation we share, the incredible gift that God has given us through Jesus, that we who are sinners can be made righteous before God because Jesus paid the debt we owed. But a messenger from the churches came and informed me that false teachers had secretly slipped in. False teachers whose condemnation was written about long ago had slipped into the churches. And so I had to write to them to urge them to contend for the faith once for all entrusted to the saints. Now, it's my understanding that you have been studying this epistle that bears my name. And I trust that the same Holy Spirit that inspired me when I wrote has opened to you the text so that you have been able to receive the truth that God has for you. And so I have come today to encourage you and to warn you. For although the false teachers from my day are dead and gone in your day, I still hear echoes of false teachings when I listen to some of the sermons, some of the teachings, some of the books written by the preachers and teachers of your day. And so I come to warn you, to urge you also to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. The faith, the body of belief, the doctrine that was given to us by Jesus Christ, built on the foundation of the Hebrew Scriptures, proclaimed by Jesus to his disciples and then carried by his disciples, committed to the written word that became Scripture. A faith that has been passed on for generations and generations until you too have received it. For you to contend for that faith once for all entrusted. There is no new revelation. There is no new scripture. God has already given to you the faith once for all entrusted. But I must warn you and urge you, guard your heart. Be careful, for false teachers, Jesus said, would still be present in the last days. The apostles foretold that in the last days there would be those scoffers who would come. The apostle Paul, our dear friend, said that in the last days there would be teachings taught by demons. So I urge you to be alert and to contend for the faith once for all entrusted to the saints. Some of your teachers and preachers follow the same errors as the false teachers of my day. There are still some today that take the grace of God and change it into a license for immorality. Under the guise of love, under the guise of acceptance, under the guise of tolerance, the church in places is now approving that which God disapproves of. Taking love and grace to mean it doesn't matter how one lives. But grace was given not to free you to sin, but grace was given to empower you not to sin. So I urge you, be alert. Do not believe the message of these teachers that say it does not matter how you live, that it does not matter, that the Word of God does not apply. The Word of God stands firm, established in the heavens. It is truth. It is truth when God spoke it through his servants, and it is still truth today. That grace was intended to bring you to holiness, not to sin. You have teachers today, preachers, that do as the false teachers of my day and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign Lord. You have some that call themselves witnesses to God who diminish the deity of Jesus. But as Paul made clear, in Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. He is the firstborn over the church. He is the one by whom all things were created. He is the head so that in everything he might have the supremacy. He is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. He is the Word made flesh. I know, for I have seen him. I have heard him. I saw the resurrected Jesus. There is no salvation outside of him. And these so-called witnesses that proclaim that he is simply a creation of God are false teachers. Jesus has been given a name that is above every name that can be named. And by him, everything has been created. You have false teachers and preachers who claim, God spoke to me. God told me. God spoke in a dream. But they use this to advance their own cause and to gather around them disciples. Not so that they could feed them, but so they could feed themselves. Shepherds who feed themselves. Who make promises that they cannot fulfill. They are like the clouds that come without rain, blown by the wind. They are like trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They're like wild waves of the sea that foam and stir up their shame. They are like wandering stars for whom the blackest darkness has been foretold. Greedy and self-serving, these false teachers proclaim all kinds of prophetic revelation knowledge from God, but they use it as a means to take, not give. For they are greedy of heart. They amass great wealth at the expense of the sheep. They are false teachers. Be on guard and contend for the faith once for all entrusted to the saints. For just as in my day, these false teachers come in. They come in arrogantly. They come in boastfully. But they also come in separating God's people. They come in divisive. They come in following their own natural instincts. They claim to be spiritual, but they're fleshy. They proclaim one thing, but their lives are in shambles. They are grumblers and fault finders. They pollute their own bodies. They despise authority. They slander celestial beings. The same that happened in my day happens in your day as well. So be on guard. The false teachers of my day have long perished. They have experienced God's judgment. And so also will the false teachers of your day. Those who proclaim what is not true, they will be held accountable before God. Just as the Israelites perished in the wilderness, just as the angels that forsook their place had been placed in chains, just as those of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by fire, so also the false teachers will be under judgment. The seventh from Adam, Enoch, prophesied against these and said that God would convict the ungodly. These false teachers have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed headlong into Balaam's error. They are destroyed in Korah's rebellion. Example after example from the Hebrew scriptures of God's judgment on those who rebelled against him, who despised authority and who polluted their own flesh, so also will these false teachers be held accountable and will be destroyed. So be on guard and contend for the faith once for all entrusted for the saints. But build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Know the truth. Love the truth. Study the truth. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to empower you, direct you, and pray through you, to build you up, to take your stand against these who would teach falsely. So that you might discern well what is truth and what is error. But keep yourselves in the love of God. It is too easy when surrounded by false teaching to become frightened and hardened. But keep yourselves in the love of God. Do what God has called you to do. Live according to his commands through the power of his Spirit. As you wait for mercy to be revealed from heaven. And as you do so, seek to rescue those who have been ensnared by false teaching. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. Still others show mercy mixed with fear, so that you yourselves do not get ensnared in the false teaching as well. Our Father in heaven wants us to rescue those who have been trapped in false teaching. We extend mercy so that God may restore. We rescue and save from the fire before it's too late. But we also protect ourselves. And if you are frightened, wondering how, Jude, can I do this in this day and age? May I encourage you as I encourage those to whom I wrote, look to Jesus, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. To contend for the faith isn't about winning an argument. It's about being faithful to the truth and rescuing others. That's what Jude's about. We're called to contend. Doesn't mean get in a fight. Doesn't mean duke it out. It doesn't mean get in a verbal argument and win. Because you can win the argument and lose the soul. That's why he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. To see each person as the one for whom Jesus died. To be an agent that the Spirit of God uses. You having been built up in your most holy faith first. You having put your oxygen mask on first. You seek to reach out to bring back to the truth those who have gone astray. And you remain faithful. Faithful to the truth. That, church, is 13 weeks in about 15 minutes. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this epistle of Jude, a little book with a powerful punch. And I pray that as we move from here and take a peek back at Jude again, it'll jump out. It'll come alive. That we'll realize it wasn't just first century, historical, boring, no application, but that the setting for us is just as real as it was then. And that the message still applies. That false teaching is going to be around us. It's inevitable. Where there's truth, the enemy will sow error. But I thank you that because of what Jesus did, we're kept. We're safe. And we can be presented before you without fault and with great joy. And I pray that that would mark us as the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.